So I want to jump right in because this gospel is really profound and really relevant to a lot of what's going on in our church and our community, the way our Lord has always set it up to be. He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Pray that God would send more laborers into his harvest. What harvest is Jesus, Son of God, Son of Joseph and Mary, what harvest is he focused on here? Some garden in his backyard that is rich, but the laborers are few? Or isn't it the harvest of the world? Your hearts, our hearts, so many souls of children, of men and women who are hungry. They're looking for more than this broken world has to offer them. And yet there's so few voices to offer them direction as to where to find the joy Christ offers, the real peace that Christ wanted them to find. You could say the Holy Spirit and this broken world have kind of done their job insofar as we do have struggles, questions about death, about life, about suffering. We're looking for relationships that we can depend on. We experience broken relationships. We're sick and sickened by the sins we ourselves commit against God, against our parents, against our children, against our spouses. We're sick and tired of so many pleasures or addictions that the more we take, the more we need more of them, and they just never leave us satisfied. We're sick of this broken and corrupt society where there's just, you can't find anyone that seems to be a person of integrity as a role model. And think of our politics and how much our nation in so many ways is divided. The harvest is rich. We're looking for more. Our hearts are being stretched, stoked, looking for and longing for stuff that can bring us that peace, that rest to our restless hearts. Try to picture on a tree, the ripe apples that are just like so luscious and so perfectly ripe. Our Lord's saying, that's the harvest, it's rich, it's ready to go. I just don't have any personnel to harvest it. What happens when that ripened fruit hangs on the tree for too long? It starts to spoil. The fruit dies. There was no one to harvest it. There was no one to bring that soul in need of healing to confession, to Christ, to an encounter with God's love. The laborers weren't there. And we do see so many in the last many, many, many decades, like there's just like so much discouragement, so much despair. We want to encourage them to think maybe there is more to this life. Maybe there is joy and hope to be found. And yet they're like, no, there's not. Just got to settle for taking care of number one, taking care of myself. Our Lord knows this. Our Lord says, the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Think about he himself feeling his own burning desire to bring the healing, to bring the hope, to bring the light, to bring truth to so much confusion. He would pray that none might be lost. It definitely weighed on his heart that none would be lost. But he replies to that situation, how? By telling us, ask my Father, the Master of the Harvest, to send out laborers. That's one of the greatest mysteries of the way God has revealed himself and revealed our salvation, is that yes, salvation is through Christ, very much through Christ, yet Christ works through laborers, through instruments, through you and me, through the church. We might want to imagine that God sees the whole world in need and broken. He just waves his arm and it's all healed, all taken care of, done. I did it, fixed. That's not how it works. We can find out in heaven why he didn't do it that way. But I want you to focus on the gospel when he sends out the 72. Look at the way he treated them. I have given you power and authority to you over evil, over sin, over serpents and scorpions, whatever. Whoever receives you receives me. We kind of skipped it, by the way. Whoever rejects you rejects me. He sent them out to prepare the way for him. So I'm just going to focus on those two things. First of all, let us definitely be reminded to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, to inspire people of all ages, older, younger, that they would hear the invitation of our Lord to go forward into the harvest and that they would respond to it. You might notice a vocation shortage in the last several decades. Why aren't there enough priests? How come some of our churches don't have as many priests as they need? How come we haven't seen Sister Judy or Sister so-and-so? Like, we definitely do have a real shortage. We need to pray, probably more often, to really make that our own prayer. Lord, send out laborers to the harvest. Inspire in the hearts of young people a longing to respond to your call. Free them from whatever inhibits that response. And at the same time, we have to ask ourselves, aren't we some of those laborers that he's sent out? Because our Lord says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Then he appoints 72. So imagine the 12 plus 60. He just appoints them. He doesn't like ask for volunteers. He just says, Camille, stand up. Go ahead, Camille, stand up for me. Can you stand up for me? Awesome. Camille, she's number one. Camille, who else should stand up? Should someone else stand up with you? How about your mom? Should your mom stand up? Mom's appointed to. Go ahead, mom can stand up. Gary, stand up. The 72. Tommy, you want to stand up for us? Awesome. He just went one by one to 72. How long it took, do you think, for him to get to all 72? How did they feel when he called their name? How did he feel? How did they, their hearts, what was going on in their minds? When he says, all right, now you're going to go to Samaria, you're going to go to Galilee, you're going to go to Bethesda, you're going to go, their thoughts, okay, what do you think about it? Like, wait, what? Why me? Oh my gosh, like, my schedule's full. I can't, wait, what? Or, Lord, I don't really know you myself that well. How am I going to teach them to be ready to receive you? I'm still trying to understand you. Lord, I was sleeping while you were preaching. I don't even know what you said. How do I do anything? Y'all can sit down. But I just want you, it could have been any one of us. It is, has been all of us, each one of us. When he says, you go to La Place, you go to Bouty, you go to Kenner. I don't want to go to Kenner. Go to Kenner. Go to Uptown. But he called them by name, and I just ponder what was going on in their hearts. Will I be able to do this? Do I have what it takes? Am I prepared? What if I fail? Raise your hand if you've heard in the news about people that God sent to his church over the last several decades that some of them failed. Anybody heard something about people failing? It happens. God chooses Judas at times too, and a lot of damage can be done. It's very sobering. I would ask you though, when you think about, Lord, how much is at stake if I fail? I'd ask you, how much is at stake if we don't even try? Our Lord talks about the harvest is rich, but then he laments. Just hear the sound of his voice change. The harvest is rich, look at it. Look at the world, they're hungry, they're seeking, they're open. But the laborers, they're so few. They were supposed to be here. They're not doing what they needed to do. They didn't respond. The Pharisees, Sadducees, some family leaders, whatever. Where are they? The laborers in Luling, where are they? At your baptism, raise your hand if you're baptized. Anybody baptized? Yay! Because we were mostly all baptized. I hope so. It's important. Raise your hand if you were confirmed. Anybody was confirmed? For what it's worth, that sacrament in particular is very relevant to this. That's when you were appointed. You received the Holy Spirit and you were sent forth to bear witness as a mature adult Christian, give or take, to bear witness, to be a laborer in our Lord's vineyard. He had already used others to reach out to you, and thanks be to God they did. And in your baptism, especially at your confirmation, he appointed you to go prepare the way for him to reach others. That's how that works. Laborers in the harvest. Years ago, I was a chaplain at Christian Brothers Middle School in New Orleans. And every now and then, if I could, I would go to their football games. Ever gone to a middle school football game? Fifth grade football game? It's really kind of funny because the game never gets much past midfield. It's like four downs, they drop it four downs the other way, and then the score is 0-0, it's all good. Some of those entertaining games, though. But you see the coach at some points, maybe somebody's coming off the field, and he looks on the bench to call the next person in, and what does he see? they're distracted. They're joking about something that happened in school today. They're playing their iPhone, their video. They're just not in the game. They're caught unprepared. I didn't think Coach needed me. Honestly, I think that's one of the greatest deceptions among Catholics and Christians today. I didn't think God needed me. Couldn't the priest do it or the nuns? They're supposed to. No, I didn't think God needed me. Can our Lord count on me? Am I focused? Am I preparing myself? Now, while maybe I happen to be on the sidelines, I'm not meant to stay on the sidelines. Am I preparing myself? Am I disciplining my mind and my will? Am I investing my talents so that He can send me in and work His miracles through me one day, the way He's always done it through others? Do I know God's love for me? Do I know and ponder God's love for them so that I can bring it to them? Do I spend time, you could say, training with the divine coach? You know, like a one-on-one player and coach going over the drills? That's prayer. Spend time with Him. Allow Him to speak to you. Allow Him to guide you. Go to confession. Have that moment when He kind of helps you realize, you know, you fumble the ball a lot because you're doing this the wrong way. You're struggling over here because you do this the wrong way. Just work on this, work on that. Spiritual direction. We need to be conscious in preparing ourselves. Spend time with Him. Do I know His ways? Do I know the church's teachings? No, the real teachings. Not the way sometimes they're kind of twisted or exaggerated in certain media circles, but the real ways that our Lord has taught us to follow Him. And do I understand how they meet the world's needs today? Do I know those needs? Do I know the needs of my neighbor, the material needs, the spiritual needs? Am I in touch with those needs? And do I know how to use the tools that the Lord has given us? Am I freeing myself, as I maybe sit on the bench right now, from those distractions that keep me kind of out of the game, not really focused? The bad habits that I've formed. Am I getting rid of certain sinful tendencies, certain confused ideas that I don't have clear in my head, so that I'm getting ready to jump at the next occasion that our Lord sends me in, whether here at church, in the community, there's so many needs here, or at work, in my family life, among my peer group? Am I ready when those occasions pop up and suddenly the Spirit would pull me into the game to make a difference and say something or do something? Am I there? Am I following His game, our Lord's game, closely? Like the players on the sideline watching every move. Why did the coach do this? How did that match perfectly the opponent's move? What's the strategy that our Lord is following today? Am I paying attention to what's going on in the world, in the church, in my own community? Footnote, maybe we'll come back to this later, but if you haven't noticed, we put out a few weeks ago the Archdiocesan Synod, the goals that every community of the Catholic society today in the Archdiocese is supposed to be striving for. Read it. There's a lot there. And there's room for all of us to invest our talents there. Nobody has talents that don't fit somewhere on that gameplay, on that strategy. Do I pay attention and watch the opponent's strategy? The enemies of our Lord, what are they doing? How are they acting today? Sometimes too well, they employ their strategy. Do we see the seeds of doubt that are being sown? Doubts about Jesus, doubts about church things, doubts about God. Do I see the fear in our society today? The anxiety. We're so anxious, so absorbed in our anxiety, so full of vanity. Oh my gosh, I couldn't go on the field. What if I drop the ball? What if I do something wrong? What are people going to think of me if I pretend to be someone who is really convinced of Jesus and actually talk about Him in public? What would they think of me? I better not do that. It's working. It's a good strategy, sadly. Keeps us hiding on the sidelines. The distrust in His church, in the Catholic Church. How much distrust is being sown today in the Catholic Church? A lot. A lot of division in our communities, in our church, in our society at large. A lot of division. A lot of seduction. We're being seduced to absorb our mind and our heart in petty things, keeping us from being even focused on the game. Does my heart pulsate knowing how much, just how much depends on my yes, on my readiness when the Master sends me in? What is the impact any one person and each of us could have in the different things in our society, in our community, in our church today? If you haven't heard, there's been so much effort in the different areas of our youth and family outreach, whether PSR or CYO or youth, whatever. Like, there's so much need there for each one just to do a little bit to make the difference, to make it more what it needs to be, to reach the harvest, to reach the young people and their families who are so ripe for the harvest. And we're like, no, I can't do that. I'm too busy. For what it's worth, I know we're all kind of busy. We're all actually a lot busy. Show me someone who's not busy, who doesn't have anything to do. I'll show you someone who's never going to get anything important done. Our Lord uses busy people, which means He might be using you and me. Father, we couldn't help out in that thing, or we couldn't make it to church. We couldn't do this because, you know, the coach needed my son on the team. The team needed him. I'm with you for that, and I do support a moderate amount of sports and other things, but this is also a team. And this team needs you. And the impact of this team is enhanced by you or limited when you're not there. Your involvement matters. Our Lord sends laborers to His vineyard, His harvest. He says, the harvest is rich, but where are they? There's so many ways we can be preparing ourselves, so many ways that either we're in the game and getting better at our game, or we're sitting on the bench, whatever we're doing. If you haven't done it already, make sure you have that formed.org app, those other resources, online, offline resources, books to read. Am I getting better at the game? Am I realizing how to talk about my faith, how to talk about God's love, how to realize how Jesus addresses the suffering in our world, the brokenness of our world? There's a retreat coming up, a lot of retreats actually, for what it's worth. Women, raise your hand if you're a woman. Anybody? Okay, I'll trust your judgment. Okay, so July 12th, there's a women's evening of reflection, because we need it. There's a couple's evening at St. Anthony in October, or no, sooner than that, really soon, in a couple Saturdays. A couple's morning of reflection. Because if you've been through Ida and you're married, you probably could use a little help for your marriage. It's been a rough one. We had two beautiful retreat opportunities for teens with ECHO, just theology of the body, relationships, whatever. We had a small number come, but it could have been so much more who benefited from that. Our Lord's offering so many opportunities for us to grow and be ready. Am I taking those opportunities? There's a statistic, and I'll kind of start to close with this, but there's a statistic that says that basically most Christian or Catholic communities, it's usually your 20% who do most or all of the work. So I do want to thank those of you who are in that 20% who've been doing so much to enable our community to do what it's done so far. It's a lot. I'm very grateful for so much that has been done. I think our Lord would like to kind of renew us and encourage us with so much that's been done through our collaboration. But what would the world be like if it were actually 100% in every Christian and Catholic community that were involved? How much more could take place? A lot of times people look at God and say, God, why did you make such a broken world? Why did you leave people there with no answers to their struggles? Or how come it's like this, God? Why did you? I don't think it's His fault. There's a song, and I've shared this with you guys before. It says, Lord, why don't you do something? And He says, I did. I made you. A quick image. I usually tend to lose friends when I use this image. But anyway, imagine life is like a football game, 4 quarters, right? Of course, you never know when the rain is going to stop the game short and all of a sudden time is up. So when you're dead, time is up. Maybe you get to make it through all 4 quarters. Who knows? But if you're, I don't know, 65, 70, 80 years old, not to be rude, but you might be in the 4th quarter. Sorry, not to offend. But it might be. The 4th quarter, how much time is left? If you haven't been in the game the first 3, now's the time. You know, we would love it if the Saints would actually start winning from the beginning and keep winning all the whole game. Instead, they usually wait till the very last quarter. So it's not too late for any of us. If the Saints can do it, we can do it. But if you're in that quarter, our Lord might be challenging each one of us. Examine, how's the game going? You don't know how much time is left. Make sure you play well. If you're in your, I don't know, 40s, 50s, that might be the 4th quarter. Sorry, the 3rd quarter. 3rd quarter. Make sure you rethink, is your strategy working? Where are things going? If it's a midlife crisis and you're starting to think about poor me, I don't even know who I am, you better figure it out because it's the third quarter. Don't waste time. You don't have time to waste. If you're in your 20s, 30s, maybe it's like halftime. You have time to reflect, time to pause, examine yourself, examine the game. How am I doing? Where am I vulnerable? Where is the opponent starting to win and gain ground against my efforts? So that I can refocus and make sure that the rest of the time I'm much better addressing the needs that are around me. Whatever I didn't develop in the first quarter, I can still develop now and have it ready to go. The tools or whatever talents God has given me. Use them, don't hide them. If you're 7 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old, raise your hand if you're under 15. Anybody here under 15 years old? Awesome! You guys are in the first quarter! And you've got that time to really jump in full force. To experience the joy of a touchdown pass. The joy of making the tackle to stop the confusion that was taking place around you because you had the answers to give. And coming from that innocent voice, people listened. Don't sit there and think, oh, I'll do that when I'm older, when I'm in the fourth quarter maybe. Now. Start strong. Come in the game strong. Our young people have a lot to offer. But are they being nourished and prepared and trained while they're still young and on the sidelines? Maybe it's JV instead of varsity. Now's the chance. Get them in. Get them in the game. Don't wait. Lastly, I forget who says this. It's a famous quote. The only thing needed for evil to triumph is what? For good people to do nothing. Our Lord sends out the 72. Our Lord says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send more laborers to his harvest. And I'm asking you all today, especially as you receive Holy Communion, pray to that Lord of the harvest, Christ himself, that he would send more laborers to Luling, that he would wake up in our hearts and our souls, the seed of our baptism, of our confirmation, especially if it's been dormant for a while, that he would wake it up, fan it to flame, like St. Paul said to Timothy, fan it to flame, to make the difference we can make for this community and the surrounding areas. There's no more time to sit passive on the sidelines. There's no more time to be unaware of the game going on right in our midst, the confusion around us, the struggles of people around us, the gifts our Lord has given us, the talents and the strategies that he's using, that the church is trying to offer. Get in that game. What is the opponent doing and how am I reacting to it? Or am I just kind of going with that flow and letting him plow me down the field towards his own safety? May our Blessed Mother intercede for us. She knew the longing on her son's heart, the burning desire for that harvest. And she pondered the mystery that she was one of those instruments used. May we also realize, like her, how much depends on us, how much is at stake. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.